The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Micha Cohen.
Simen Kof Nun Hilchisnias. This simen talks about the laws of intimacy between a husband and a wife. Now, we know that it's referred to as the laws of tznias. Tznias usually means modesty. Now, it's not referring here to the modesty in dress, but it's referring to modesty in the approach to how one approaches this important aspect of marriage. Now, just as a little bit of an introduction to some Torah perspective on this whole subject, there's a very interesting piece of Ramban. The Ramban quotes the Rambam. The Rambam says that chush hamishkol cherpa hilanu, that the sense of mishkol of sensuality is cherpa, is an embarrassment for humanity. Meaning the Rambam is saying that it's something that has lowliness to it, and the Ramban sharply criticizes the Rambam, and the Ramban says that when Hashem made man, Hashem made man in a way that man and woman should have relations and should have intimacy, and that's the way Hashem made it. So therefore, this is the will of God, so therefore, it's a good thing, and there's nothing at all not positive about it. Now, the different Sifrei Machshava, the works on Jewish thought, talk about that actually the relations between man and woman and the intimacy between man and woman is a comparison to the relationship between God and the Jewish people. And just as the Jewish people and God have a deep relationship, so too man and woman have this deep relationship. And therefore, when a husband and wife engage in these activities, that is something that's very holy about it. And obviously we know that this is how a man and woman bring a child into the world. And so you see from there the importance of it and the holiness of it. Now also, the very fact that it strengthens a marriage and brings them together, that's also a very important aspect of it. Now, besides for the machshava aspect of it, this philosophical and emotional aspect of it, there's also the point that a husband has an obligation to a wife, known as chiv ksuba, that the ksuba obligates him to do certain things, and one of those things is oina. Oina are these rights. And oina also means time, which is an important point, that it's not as much about physical pleasure as about the fact that the couple is spending time with each other in a very close way. Now, we're going to begin here looking a little bit at what the Kitzer says about it, but I think it's important to understand these two points, that in general, the Jewish approach to these things is a positive one, and at the same time, it's an opportunity, if done correctly and done as an act of giving and kindness, for a person to elevate themselves. Just as in other areas of life, let's say eating and drinking, a person can elevate themselves to doing it properly. The idea of eating on Shabbos and Yontif is brought in many Svarim, that brings a Kedusha, brings a holiness by sanctifying the physical. So too, this is the same thing. By bringing the family closer, by bringing the husband and wife closer through these physical acts, then there's something very great and holy about it. Now, like anything, it requires the proper balance. And in many of these halachas, if you look at them carefully, we'll be able to see that special balance. Let's begin with learning Sif Aleph. Royal Adam Lahargil Es Asma, Bektusha Yaseira, V'machshava Tahira, V'das Nechoina B'shas Tashmish. It's proper for a person to get himself used to a greater level of holiness and thought, and pure thought at the time of this relations. Now, the thought here doesn't necessarily mean something very deep and esoteric, but it means an idea of giving, that it shouldn't be a selfish act, it should be an act of giving to the other person. Now, it continues, Lo yekel roishim ishtoi v'leinabel piv v'divri havoi. One should not be exceedingly lightheaded, and one should not speak in an improper way, even privately during this time. Now, what it means is that obviously we're not talking that a person should be overly serious, but the idea is that just like any area of life, Everything needs a balance. And what we're saying here is that there has to be a balance here. That person shouldn't lose themselves in the moment and realize that it's for a purpose and for a higher purpose, and therefore one has to keep that in mind. Hari Akosav Aimer, the verse says, "Umagid l'adam masechai," that when a person, after 120 years, goes in front of Hashem and gets the final judgment, he is told what is his light talk. Sicha is a language of light talk. And it continues, "Amar Rabbi Sena Zurchan Levracha," and the Gemara tells us in Chagiga, "Afilu Sicha Kala Sheben Ishli Ishtoi," even the light talk between husband and wife at the time of intimacy, "Magida Lebashasa," then it's told at the time of judgment. Now, it's important to point out that a person giving a good word to someone, telling a joke, if it's appropriate, if it's supposed to be done, then it's the biggest mitzvah. So, the same here, if for the relationship, this is what's positive, this is what's building, then it's a wonderful thing. If it's something that's destructive, that's just running after worldly pleasures, so then that's not positive. But the idea is that it's supposed to be an act of giving, of chesed, and chesed is through building, and if it's done that way, then it's perfectly acceptable. They shouldn't talk about extraneous things at the time of relations or beforehand. And the reason is because we don't want them to gossip about other people, because it's supposed to be a focus just on the two of them. So therefore, we don't want to bring other people involved, meaning the names of other people. Only what's necessary for the intimacy, for the relations, to bring them close together. But one shouldn't talk about other people, because it's supposed to be the focus is just on the two of them. Now, if he was in a dispute with her, that it's prohibited to have relations with one's wife if they're in a dispute, they could discuss the matter in order that she shall calm down, that she could have relations. Now, I'd like to point out that over here we see the idea that I mentioned before, that the Torah perspective on this whole subject is that it should be an act of giving and an act of bringing the couple closer together. So therefore, if they're in a dispute with each other, then even though they both consent, but this is not bringing them together, it's each one's involved in their own personal pleasure. So that's why it's prohibited. Only if it's they're both at peace with each other, and the idea is to bring them closer, then it's permitted. Vishamish betznei hafshari, and one should have relations in the most possible private way. Again, it's specifically the husband and wife's business, no one else's, and it's important also that people shouldn't be discussing these things among their friends. You know, a home is supposed to be its own place, its own private, and this just should be a trust there, and it's not something to be discussed with other people. Obviously, if people need guidance, they could need to get professional guidance from an appropriate person, but otherwise they shouldn't be discussing these things. Now, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch mentions here about the position during the actual relations and says that if the husband is below and the wife is above, zuderech azus, it's improper. Now, the reason why it's improper is because Chazal understood that in such a position the wife does not get much pleasure, and again, it's supposed to be an act of giving, not a selfish act, so therefore they don't recommend it. Now, there are times, let's say for medical reasons, that it will be difficult the other way, then obviously it would be permitted. Both of them do it at the same time. This is Derech Ikesh. Amru Alav Arabi Elazar. Now then the Kitzur brings a Chazal that the Shulchan Aruch brings, which speaks about this great, great holy person, Rabbi Elazar, Shekol Kachay Meshamash Be'im Bevira, that he had so fear and trepidation when he was involved in relations, Achei Dema Kilu Kfoi Shade, that did it as if he was just forced by a shade, by a demon, and he did it very quickly. This is what the Gemara seems to say. Now, this Gemara, you know, a lot of people take this Gemara and misunderstand it, and sort of get this attitude that one should be as quick as possible with relations and shouldn't spend the proper time. And the problem with that is, besides that it's a misunderstanding, is that it's actually not fulfilling a person's biblical obligation of Aina. Aina means to spend time, and it means to give what the wife needs. Now, what the Gemara is actually talking about is about a very, very holy person who, for who he was, he didn't need much of it at all, and obviously his wife was equally holy, and she didn't need it either. So, for them, that they didn't need it, so this is how they did it. And I heard once from a very great Paisik, a great halachic authority that he said that even if a person would think that they're on the level of this Tana, Rabbi Elazar, but whose wife would be on such a level today that they could say that they are not obligated to do it in a normal way. Now, again, the point is that many great rabbis today tell us that this idea is really something not applicable for our generation, and therefore it's something to know that it says this in the Kitzer, but on a practical level, the main idea is a person should give the spouse the proper time, and that the focus should be on giving, and if that's what it is, then he's doing the right thing. And people who sometimes get involved in their own piousness could be really doing the wrong thing because they're not fulfilling their obligations, what the wife wants, and they also may not be honest with themselves as far as their own needs, and it may backfire in other ways. This is something that the Stipler and other great tzaddikim of this generation talk about. Sometimes people think that they're overly pious, and it comes out in other ways that it really, really backfires. Siv Beis. B'shas ha-zivug yesh lo lahar b'divei Torah. At the time of revelations, one could definitely think about Torah things, u'b'shar dar v'shav k'dush and other holy thoughts. V'af al pish asher likers b'fiv, and even though, because they're not covered properly, there's nakedness, so therefore they couldn't mouth the words, say dvarim shav k'dusha, hear her mutter, thoughts are mutter. U'mitzvah, and it's a good thing, ki hear her einu k'dibur l'inyin zeh, because although in some places in halacha, thoughts are like words, as far as this is concerned, it's not like that, and therefore it's perfectly permitted and recommended that a person should involve themselves in Torah thoughts at this time. Because even though in a place where there's excrement and other unclean things, it's prohibited to think divrei Torah, afilu lahar b'davar shebekedusha, even to think about kedusha, not only just not to say it, that's a different halacha. When it comes to excrement, something that's actually unclean, dirty, so then even thought is prohibited. That's learned from the pasuk of having a holy camp. But the issue is not uncleanness, but it's nakedness. So that's not learned from the same pasuk. It's learned from a different source, from the chesiv erva's davar, and darshu Rabbi Sinov Zuchan Vracha, that when it comes to that problem, which is the problem at the time of intimacy, Dibur Asr hear her mutter, that speech is prohibited, but thought is permitted. So the bottom line is that during intimacy, one could think Dibur Asr Kedusha, and it's even recommended, just they should not actually say the words. Let's continue with Sif Gimel. Asr L'Shamash L'Or Haner. At the time of intimacy, they're not supposed to have direct light. Now, the idea of not having direct light is the idea of modesty, of tznius, that at the time of actual relations, it should be dark in the room, at least from direct light. And it doesn't help to cover oneself, there should not be direct light in the room. But if one makes a partition 10 tvachim high in front of the source of light, mutter, then is permitted. It's also prohibited to have relations during the day, ela the base afil, only in a house that the windows are covered. If the windows are if they have direct sunlight, then it's a problem. If the windows are covered, even though the sun does come through, but then it will be okay, because it's not direct light. Balayla, at night, if it's a full moon and the light is coming in directly, also it's a problem. But if it's not coming in directly, even though there is light in the room, one covers himself and it's permitted. If there's light in a different room and it comes through the crack in the door, so it's permitted. But one should cover themselves with the talus, with the clothing, but otherwise it's permitted. Now, obviously, these halachas are called laws of modesty, and the key is that it's something special between husband and wife, and therefore no one else should be there. If the person's awake, if the person's sleeping, then it will be permitted. Even if there's a hefsik, it makes no difference. But if it's a very young child that's awake, but it can't even talk, then mutter, then it will be permitted. Let's continue now with Sif Hey. Also Listakal Baisimakum. One should not gaze intently at the vaginal area of the woman. Why? I should call him a stakal sham, because one who looks there intently, ain le boishas panim, he doesn't have a certain sense of embarrassment, and therefore he transgresses the verse that one should walk modestly, umavra abushim alpanov, and he takes away the embarrassment from his face. I should call him a spayish, ain achayte, because anyone who is embarrassed does not come to sin, that the fear should be on your face, so abusha, chazal learned, this is this sense of embarrassment, of shame, v'vilti sechetel. V'oid, also, the kamagari yitzahar b'navshe, that he's inciting his yitzahar. Now there's one aspect that a person has a natural desire for relations, and that's normal, and that's fine, but for a person to increase it, to do things to increase that lust, that's something that's not the right thing to be doing. One who kisses there, he transgresses these. He also transgresses the provision of Baltashaksu of doing something that Chazal felt was demeaning and disgusting. Sif Vav. A house that has in it a Sefer Torah. Also, one could not have relations there. It has to be removed into a different room. If there's no other room, one should make a partition 10 tvachim tall. So that should be around like 35 inches or so. With the hay mechitza stuma, and it should be, you know, completely a solid mechitza, shalayira ha sefer Torah, that one should not be able to see the sefer Torah. And the urea, the, you know, they had canopy beds in those days. They would have the curtain around it, so that's not called the mechitza. Kivin shehinada, because it sort of moves back and forth. Elim kain kasher isa milamata, unless it's tied from the bottom. Okay, now that's not a very common situation that a person should have a sefer Torah in the room, but the next situation is much more common, and that is, what about a tefillin, chumashim, other svarim? With tefillin or chumashim, asar sharkas v'kaidish, if the tefillin or a chumash or other holy works, gan gemara, madrashim, afarshayim, the gemara, other svarim, benjayim b'chsav, whether they're written actually by hand, benjayim b'dufus, or whether they're printed, yochol anichem b'chli b'sechli. So this is the main important thing, that if one's staying in a place that there are svarim in the room where they want to have relations, so they need to put them in two coverings. So that would be to put the sefer in a bag and then cover the bag, let's say, with a towel or something. That would be, say, two coverings. So let's say sometimes people stay in a place and there are svarim trunks, there are bookcases in the room. So again, if they have two sheets and they cover it over with two sheets, then it would be permitted. V'davka kishakli asheni einam yuchud lehem. Now if the one of the coverings is special for the purpose of covering that thing, let's say a tefillin bag, so it has a covering, but since it's special for it, it's not considered a covering. Avol kelim hamyuchad lehem afilu hem asara. But if you have, say, many tefillin bags, one on top of each other, that doesn't help. Kulam kechad chashivi. So basically, the idea over here is that you can only use a covering that's special for it as one covering. So therefore, so you have tefillin in the tefillin bag, so the tefillin bag itself, even if you were to have many tefillin bags, one covering the next, it would only be considered one covering. So therefore, you need, besides its normal covering, you need a second covering. Now, I believe there are those that say that the binding of a sefer could be considered perhaps one covering, that it's enough that the sefer is in another bag, and that might apply, let's say, to a room that has a svarim shrank, that has a bookcase, so you'd only need one covering. Again, this may not be everyone's opinion, but it's possible that there could be such a concept, that the fact that the sefer itself is covered over with something, say a binding, and then, or definitely if the closet has, or it's in a closet, and then that's covered with something else, then that would work. Now, v'im peiras eze mechse al ergas shasfarim bay. So here's what he says. He says, this is what we're talking about with the bookcase. So if you have this bookcase that the svarim are in, and you cover it over something, so chashav kechli b'sa chli. And then definitely you have, now we're talking about a closed svarim shrank, we're talking about a closed bookcase. So there, that's one covering. And then you cover with a second thing, there'll be a second covering. V'chein ha-mezuzah, and the same thing, the mezuzah, im hu kavua b'finim ha-cheder, if the mezuzah is on the inside of the room, shrichim l'chasayisa b'shnei kisuyim, needs to be covered with two coverings. Shetehei kli b'sech kli, that it should be a kli inside of a kli. V'ashem yehei gamkei mechuseh, and sometimes it's clear, so you can see the name Shakai, so that should also be covered. V'kisa is chuchus le'mahani, and for that, a glass covering doesn't help the tzarach shalei hanira, shouldn't be seen. Now, it's important to point out that a glass covering would help as one covering. So, for example, the mezuzah, if it has a plastic or a glass clear covering, and another covering is put on top of it, that would be good, because even though the covering is special for the mezuzah, but it still can act as one covering, and even though it's see-through, but since you have another covering on top of it, then that would be fine. Let's continue with Siv Zayin. Lihei Ragel B'yoser Mishtay. One should not be overly ragel, familiar, meaning overly involved in having relations with one's wife. El B'aynashu Chayv L'Froy Oynose. That's it saying that the husband has a mitzvah obligation to give the wife what she's supposed to get from her ksuba. So therefore, that's obviously your obligation. But if the man can elevate himself, he doesn't need more than that. Just like, for example, a person, when it comes to eating or drinking, if a person eats what they need to eat, and they don't need more than that, then obviously they shouldn't indulge themselves more than they need to. So the same thing is with this. Now, the Kitzer brings, this is from the Shulchan Aruch, brings a sort of what were the normal expectations based on different professions in those times. Now, this is based on the idea that if a person had a very exhausting profession, that he couldn't be expected to engage in intimacy as much as a person who had a very easy life. So it says the following. Hanashim Abrim Bamunagim, people who are healthy and they take an easy life, sharpanasasim b'makayimam b'revach, that they have a local business and they make a lot of money, they aim par mas and they don't have to pay taxes, so they have not a hard life, aynasim b'cholayla, so then their aynas is every night. Now it's interesting to point out that although the Kitzur said a whole beginning about one shouldn't be overly involved in these things, but the point is that a person has an obligation to the wife, and if the husband is able to, and this is what the wife wants, then he has an obligation to do so, even every night. Now, the Kitzur continues, "Hapoyalim sh'aysim malacha b'iram," that those that do malacha in the city, so they work hard, so they're not the first category, but nonetheless, anasan shtepam b'chol shvua, their ayna is twice a week. Now, it's just important to point out over here also, that this is completely something that's up to the couple, meaning to say if the wife wants something differently, and if the husband agrees, or vice versa, so it's totally up to them. This is just a recommendation based on, you know, if the wife would want, but the husband doesn't want to, then we're saying that what is his obligation based on the ksubu? Let's continue. V'im oisim alocha b'ir acharis. Now, if he travels, oisim pamach b'shvua, then once a week, v'chein asaychirim shi'aytzim l'kforim, im chamayrim, the merchants that go to the small cities with their donkeys, l'avitu alimkar, to bring produce, v'chein k'yaytzim b'hem, and similar things. So, again, they're doing a lot of traveling, so they're a little bit more tired, oisim pamach b'shvua, then their obligation is once a week. One who they transport on camels from very far away places, then their obligation is once a month. That the oin of a Tamil Chacham is on Friday night once a week, and the reason is because he's involved in his learning, and therefore that tires him out. Now, it is interesting that I believe in the Sefer Chachmas Adam, it brings from the Noid Bihuda that because as the generations became weaker in the Yerushalayim, in the fear of heaven, so there was an idea that even if they were only obligated once a week, they should do it twice a week in order that they should sort of minimize the Yetzer Hara by being with their wife and not that they shouldn't come to impure thoughts. So that's also something to keep in mind, that by properly fulfilling one's obligation, then it also is a permitted and proper way of a person to sort of release the natural need for these things, nor that it shouldn't affect him in other ways where it wouldn't be proper. This obligation to fulfill this aino, even when she's pregnant or nursing, meaning the point is not necessarily to have children, but one obligation to the wife. One should not miss an aino only with her consent. When she forgives it, and he also fulfilled his mitzvah perivya. Now, there is a discussion about how much can you assume that she is meichela, and this is an important point in general, that the idea over here is the pain or discomfort the wife might have, it doesn't help to just ask, okay, it's okay, it's okay, have her just to say that it's okay. If it really bothers her, then it doesn't help. So this gets back to the original point that on the one hand, a person, when it comes to all worldly pleasures, this person is supposed to use restraint. On the other hand, a person can't be overly pious because by being overly pious, a person may not be fulfilling what they have a true Torah obligation to fulfill. And if heaven forbid, he holds it back to cause her pain, so that's a complete avera, going against what it says in the Torah of Oyver Belaisa, say it's a lav, Shnemar Vainasa Laigra, that one's not supposed to hold back the oina, the woman's right to intimacy. We'll continue next time with Sifches.